Thank you for your scripture reading. I think his name was Quirinius. But that's a tongue twister, that one. Pastor Dave and I were talking about this Sunday, and we were kind of laughing because last year I preached during the Advent season as well. And I also preached the same Sunday, the second Sunday of Advent, which was Peace Sunday. So he and I were joking that I could preach the same sermon. We could see how many people noticed. I feel a little bit like the pastor who candidated at a church, and he preached an amazing sermon, and the church called him to be their new pastor. So the first Sunday he arrives at this new church, he gets up and he preaches the exact same sermon that he preached when he candidated. And they thought, well, maybe he forgot which sermon he had preached when he came here. Well, then he shows up again the next Sunday and he preaches the exact same sermon as he did the previous two Sundays. And as he was preaching this, they're getting a little bit more concerned. So his third or fourth Sunday, he stands up, and again, he preaches the exact same sermon. So the board, they get together, and they have a meeting and say, you know, does this guy only have one sermon that he preaches? And so they got together with the pastor, and they said to him, you know, we're a little concerned about this sermon that you've been preaching for the last four Sundays. Do you not have another sermon that you can preach for us? And the pastor replies, well, when you start doing what I've been preaching the last four Sundays, then I'll go on to the next sermon. But no, there's a lot of things in God's word about peace, so don't worry, I did not pull the same sermon out and start preaching it. But sometimes when we look at the Christmas season and see the themes like love and giving and peace, do you ever feel like, well, Lord, I know your angels talked about peace on earth, but I'd just settle for peace around the Christmas dinner. You ever feel like that? Is there really peace for the worker who just found out that his hours were cut back or he was laid off just before Christmas? Is there peace for this displaced refugee who's looking for a new home and doesn't speak the language of the country where he's just recently moved to? Is there peace for the drug addict who is spending another winter and another Christmas out in the cold? Is there really peace for the father who just found out that his child has cancer? Is there peace for the mother who has three children under the ages of six and one of them is really colicky? Is there peace for the criminal who's facing another year in prison? Is there peace for those of us who are facing turmoil or pain? Or another Christmas, visiting with people that you only see once a year, and quite frankly, that is plenty. Is there really peace? And can there be this peace that the angels were singing about, peace on earth, goodwill toward all men? Can there be that kind of peace? Well, in this world, through the world, the only answer is no. However, thank God that his peace is different than anything the world has to offer. You see, in John 14, 27, when Christ was talking, he said, my peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives, and do not let your hearts be troubled. And do not be afraid. You see, this world offers something that comes in the guise of peace, and yet so often that is fleeting or crumbles before our very eyes. On November 11, 1918, at the end of World War I, an armistice was signed that brought peace to the world in what they called the War to End All Wars, or the Great War. And that armistice started things rolling and set in motion the events leading to the signing of what they called the Treaty of Versailles. And at the Treaty of Versailles, all the smartest leaders of countries, politicians, sorry, I used smart and politicians in the same sentence, didn't I? All the smartest men in the world got together to plan what they thought would be world peace. And as they were writing up this treaty, they set in motion what would, a short 20 years later, bring about the beginning of World War II. That peace did not last very long because it placed such a huge burden on Germany and several other countries to make reparations for this World War I that they felt that the only way out of it was to start another war. And in fact, the anger in Germany was so deep that when Hitler defeated France in 1939, 1940, he actually tracked down the same railroad car where Germany was forced to sign the peace agreement at the end of World War I, took it to the same forest, and had France sign their surrender in this same railroad car that had been placed in a museum. That is how deep the anger was at that time. At the end of World War II, again, they wanted peace. And yet the Cold War began shortly afterward, and several skirmishes all over the world between what was seen as the free world and communism. And places like Korea, Vietnam, Cuba, later Afghanistan, became focal points for this battle between freedom and communism. And now, after the Cold War has allegedly ended, I'd say it's still simmering in the background, but now there's an ideological or even spiritual battle between terrorism and what we see as the Western world. And that has sprung up again in places like Afghanistan and Iraq. You see, peace on earth is handled more like a global game of whack-a-mole. You know, there's a fire there, boom, 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 boom. And that carnival game where a little mole sticks his head up out of a hole and you try to bonk it over the head with this big spongy hammer is more like how our world handles peace. Let's try to put out a fire here while another one starts up over here. That is what some people view as peace. And yet, in the midst of that, because this isn't something that's only a 20th century or 21st century thing that's happening around us, it's been happening throughout all of history. And if you study history at all, you see that there's been wars and rumors of wars all the way through history. And Christ came in the middle of that, and his angels announced that it would be peace on earth. And Jesus said, we can experience peace, but the peace that I give you is different than the peace the world gives you. In John 16:33, Jesus again says, I have told you these things so that you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. So peace is first different than anything that the world has to offer. And when we understand that, we view peace a little bit differently. You see, the peace that the angels were talking about, and can you imagine being those shepherds? Standing out there in a field, talking, very afraid to one angel at first, and then all of a sudden the host gathers with the first angel, and they start singing about peace on earth and about a baby born in Bethlehem. Whoa, I guess we better go see this thing that's been happening there. Well, peace is a gift from God. And that's the second thing we need to understand about peace. It's different than the world, and it is a gift from God. You see, in God's word, in John 14, 27, peace I leave you, my peace I give you. Jesus said, I am giving you peace. I'm not charging you for it. It is a gift, a present, something that you do not have to earn, you do not have to pay for, but it is a gift freely given. In Galatians chapter 5, we read about the fruits of the Spirit or the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and their love, joy, peace, third on the list, behind love and joy is peace. And along with that is patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And Paul goes on to write that against such things there is no law. You can't get thrown in jail for having peace. They can't lock you up. You know, it's not like going and stealing something or, you know, doing something illegal. Excessive speeding. They won't throw you in jail for that anymore either. But let's say grand theft auto or murder. You can get thrown in jail for those things, but you can't get thrown in jail for having peace. There are countries where you can get thrown in jail for being a Christian. I visited one. And you can get thrown in jail in places like China for just saying you follow Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord. But in jail, even though you can't get thrown in jail because there's no laws against having peace, you can have peace while you're in jail. You can have peace while you're in the midst of turmoil. You can have peace while you're undergoing treatment for cancer or while your child is undergoing treatment for cancer. You can have peace when you're in the midst of a difficult situation at work with people that you would call enemies rather than friends. You can have peace in the midst of struggles financially or health struggles. You see, the peace that God offers transcends situations and turmoil and pain and suffering. And that peace is His gift. Peace is truly a gift from God that we can have in the small moments of life. And it's one of those things that I call a God resource. Things that we can have that we can only draw upon when we're close to Him. But things that He freely gives to us when we need them. The third thing that we understand about peace is it transcends all understanding. In Philippians, we read, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." You see, that peace is something that goes beyond anything we can imagine and will flood your heart. But did you catch what else it says there? It says not only will it flood us, but it will guard your heart. It's like God sending you His peace, and then turmoil comes and that peace goes, "You shall not pass." For those of you who don't know Lord of the Rings, that's Gandalf. Standing guard and saying, "You shall not pass. You can't go past me because that peace is guarding your heart and setting up that guard to protect us. Now, I'll get the lights to dim here a little bit. When I was growing up, this was the flashlight of all flashlights. And when I found this one in our house, I pushed the button and the light was dead. But have you ever noticed how lights have changed over the last few years? This is just one of those with an incandescent bulb. And the flashlight battery in this thing costs more than just to replace the whole flashlight these days. You know, it's not worth even replacing the flashlight bulb or the light bulb in there, the big lantern battery that they have in those. But then along came mag lights. You ever get one of those mag lights? I had one of those little ones, and those little ones would throw off more light than these. I can't remember what kind of a light bulb they had in them, but they were just another incandescent bulb, but they were brighter than the regular incandescent light bulbs. Lorene had one that fit on her keychain that I think she wore out over the years. That one, for the size of it, threw an amazing amount of light. And then along came the LED lights. And this is one of the first generation of LED lights that came along. It's got three little light bulbs in there. And for the small batteries that are in it, that one threw an amazing amount of light, but you can't even see it on the wall here. And then they just kept getting fancier and brighter and brighter. Well, this is one that I received as a gift. I think that one, that one flashes and everything, so you can get the strobe light. I don't want to put anybody in a seizure here. But that is what God's peace is like. The world's peace is like this one. Big, expensive, and the battery's dead, and it's not worth fixing. Then God said, you know what? I'm going to let my peace light up your insides, but it's going to be more than anything the world has to offer. You know, we can have moments of peace. We can have peace where we're sitting there with a cup of coffee, looking out the window at the 30 centimeters of snow that we have to shovel tomorrow. We can sit there and enjoy a moment of peace. But that's fleeting. You see, God's peace transcends all understanding, and it's more than anything the world has to offer. Then it gets brighter. You shine that in your eyes. That one, if I push it enough times, this one's a new mag light, actually. It does SOS. Let's see. Nope, that's not it. There we go. If you push the button on to turn it on enough times, it'll actually flash out SOS. So if you see that sitting in my front window, come check on me. But lights just kept getting brighter and brighter. This one will light up my whole ravine from the house. And the batteries, it just takes AA batteries. It's nothing fancy. But these are similar to what I would say the world has to offer as far as, you know, I won't shine that right in your eyes. It'll blind you. But when those die, if I leave those on long enough, the batteries will die. And the light that they have is bright, but it's temporary and fleeting. God's peace is a peace that lights up the darkness in our soul and comes and floods us. And I would compare that more to the light bar that a friend of mine just got. I have a light bar on the front of my pickup that might throw off about 20 watts, and it lights up the road in front of me. He just ordered one. Has it come yet, Mike? What is it? 800 watts? Yeah. You have the generator that you need on the back of your pickup to run that yet? Yeah. I don't think my little generator will light that or start that up and run that. What does that do? Turn sun back on? Or have you ever driven towards somebody with a light bar on? Oh man, it's blinding. And that's what God's peace is. It transcends all understanding. I had somebody driving towards me with a light bar on. You hold your hand up in front of your face and you could see the bones in your hand. I think that one is the one you bought, isn't it, Mike? Well, we get the lights back on. But his peace is like a light in the darkness that just floods your soul, chases away the turmoil and the trouble, whatever you're facing, and says, you know what? That is on the outside. I'm living on the inside for you. Fourth is peace is a calling. As God's church, we are called to peace. In Colossians, we read, Colossians 3:15, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Since as members of one body, you were called to peace and be thankful. That is what God's word says. We are called to peace. It's more than just a part-time job. It's a calling. There's a difference between we've all had part-time jobs or even temporary jobs. And there's a big difference between a job and a career. A job is something that you do to put food on the table. A career or a calling is something you do because it is in your heart. And that is what God says peace is. Imagine your dream job. And in your dream job, God says, okay, you can have your dream job. You can have your dream pay. So whatever you think you need to never worry about another bill for the rest of your life, that's what you can have. And let's top it all off with in your dream location. So if your dream location is Hawaii, we'll put you there. If your dream location is in Alaska where there's better fishing, we'll put you there. Wherever you think your dream job can be, that is where you need, or we will put you. And that's what God's saying for our hearts, that he will flood your heart with peace, and that is your calling. Our calling is one to live in the presence of God as his children and experience his peace, his love, his joy, his patience, kindness, goodness. And that is blessing beyond compare of anything that we can imagine when you sit down and think about it. So peace is a calling. It's not something that is temporary in this life. Finally, fifth, peace is the end of a war. You see, God didn't send his son just to give us good feelings and a nice tingly presence. No, he came to end a war. You see, God's word talks about how sin came into the world that he made and called it very good. And then sin came and messed all that up. But primarily sin broke the relationship between God and our Creator and his creation. Sin messed everything up. And God saw this mess and said, I need to fix that, but the only way I can do it is by sending my son. And he sent his son to live among us as a child. You know what? there's a Christmas carol that's out there that talks about him coming as a child, and it has a lie in it. So any of you young mothers who have children that are colicky and sing the song Away in a Manger, where it says, "And no crying he makes," that was written by somebody who had no children of their own, I'm sure. You see, children communicate through crying. And crying in a church, I see that as a blessing, because that's church growth. Pastor Dave, that's your church growth in the future. Children who make noise are a blessing in a congregation. We planted a church in Edson years ago, my wife and I. And as our family started to grow, so did a lot of other families of people in our church. And I think at one point, a third of our congregation was under the age of 10. And it was kind of fun to see and loud at times, because we didn't have a lot of room in there, but it was a blessing that we just worked with. And if the kids started crying, we sang louder. Well, Christ came and lived as a child, but he was the general to come and end this war, the war over sin. And as he grew up, lived his life as an example to us, he brought us peace through his death. And his last words as he was dying on the cross were the words, "Tetelestai." "Tetelestai" was translated into English as "it is finished." But "tetelestai" was a phrase from the marketplace. It was a phrase when two people were gathered in the marketplace, and let's say somebody was selling a sheep, and the other person was trading for this sheep and said, "Well, I don't have the money that you're asking for this sheep, but I'm a carpenter. I build chairs. And I think that sheep there is worth one chair." And the person with the sheep says, "That chair looks like it's going to fall apart if I sit on it. My sheep's worth three chairs." And the person with the chairs says, "Well, these chairs, they are as solid as rock. They will not fall apart when you sit on them. But that sheep looks like it's about to drop over dead at any time. The most I would give to you for that sheep is two chairs." And the person with the sheep says, "Well, you know, two chairs, that's barely enough for my wife and I. But I suppose we can make that agreement and settle on two chairs. But this sheep, this is the best sheep from my flock. It's the one that my child raised. We have a name for it. Its name is Billy. So you take care of this sheep." And they barter back and forth like that. And when they come to an agreement with two chairs for one sheep, they strike hands. Or what we would call shake hands or fist bump, or however you settle a transaction agreement. And the word that would be exchanged between the two of them is the word "tetelestai." It is finished. The price is paid. We've come to an agreement. It is over. And the guy walks away with the sheep, and the person who took the chairs, he goes home and shows his wife, "Look what I got for that old sheep." But it is finished, were the words of Christ. The war is over. The price has been paid. It is done. And he breathed his last and paid the price for your sin and mine on the cross. But it was not over there, because he rose again on the third day. And because he is alive and lives within each and every one of us, he offers that peace inside of you. If you have not experienced that and have not accepted Christ as your Savior, There is numerous people here who will talk to you, would be happy to pray with you. But come to God and let him flood your soul with peace, because the war is over. In conclusion, there may be still be small skirmishes, small battles, maybe even something you'll have to deal with over Christmas dinner. Whatever life is throwing at you at the moment, remember you can have peace with God, because you do have access to him at the foot of his throne, and God's peace will set up a guard around your heart. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that your peace would flood our soul with light that chases the darkness beyond anything that we could ever see again. Lord, I pray that your peace would be part of our relationships at Christmas time. I pray your peace would drive away the turmoils that we face in life, and that we would understand that you are there with us, walking us through anything that we see and face. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.